there's things about this season that I really find very exciting, is that amidst all the shopping and sometimes the stress, when you see people out, this is the one time of year that people seem to be a little bit more open to what we're actually celebrating. Like if you can segue that into your conversation, just in a casual way, and say, isn't it wonderful that we can celebrate that Jesus was born to us to save us forever, you know? And I just, when I was starting to prepare for this, I just thought, I wanted to talk about rejoicing tonight. And the reason that we can rejoice is that we know Jesus. The reason we're here in West Cornell is we want everybody that lives here to be able to rejoice too. In the culture that we live in right now, Christmas has gotten so far away from the real meaning of Christmas. It's a time of celebrating. That's why there's so many police stops checking to see if people are celebrating, right? And gift giving has become the big thing. I mean, they make or break the whole year often by purchases that are made over the Christmas season. And sometimes, I mean, we all know about Black Friday, is that it will save businesses from going bankrupt by all the money that we spend on Black Friday, so it gets them out of the red. So as Christians, we know why we're rejoicing. And before I came this afternoon, I was told Stan I was trying to do art. Somehow God missed the art gene in terms of drawing and painting. My kids would ask me for help, and I would just say to them, honey, you're doing so well. Like, you don't want me to wreck it, because honestly, what they were doing would be better than what I could do. Pictionary was the only thing I was good in, where it was stick lines, and I could do that. Nothing else was recognizable. Anyways, I was trying to do some things to cheer up their rooms for Dunroven, because I find it very sad when I go to see people there and their rooms are bare. Not even at Christmas time is there one little snowflake or whatever. So I was trying to just get Jesus in there somehow and do joy and Oh Holy Night and this and that. And I'd get almost finished and then I'd do a mistake. I think, oh, I sure hope I can paint over this and try again. And then I think, oh, I'm not sure if this is good enough to give away because my mistake wasn't so good. But you know what? Jesus doesn't make mistakes. Hallelujah. And my best will just have to do. So tonight I want us to look at the book of John, and we're going to look at chapter 10, and I want to talk about six reasons why we rejoice in Jesus our shepherd. That he is the absolute, and we were already praying about it earlier, the only way into the Father. And that's what people need to know. They need to know. No, there is no other way. There's nothing you can do. It's about believing and trusting. And Jesus is the way in. So, the six reasons that I came up with were: he connects us, he completes us, he covers us, combines us, controls us, and comes between. As I was preparing for this, you know, you're looking for illustrations and different things, and I came across a cute little joke. This little boy, he was a four-year-old called Jamal. He spotted a cheap water pistol at the dollar store and pleaded with his mom to buy it. We've all been there, right? Grandma's too. The mom pointed out that the gun was so flimsy it was going to break easily, and she finished up her argument by suggesting that they could find a much better water pistol somewhere else. But he was unconvinced and continued to beg and wheedle, so, you know, mom got worn down and she took the easy way out, bought the toy anyway. They were just getting out of the car at home when the plastic gun fell to the pavement and broke. shattered. "See, what did I tell you?" said the mother, annoyed. Jamal looked up at his mom and said, "You shouldn't listen to me. I'm just a kid." So, I want to ask you tonight, how are we when it comes to listening? You know? I know many of us probably wish we were better listeners. I also wish that what I heard I could remember. In life, we need to be careful who we listen to and choose wisely who it is that we follow. We, as Christians, we've been given a wise, holy shepherd to lead us in the way, the only way to salvation and abundant life. First of all, we have a shepherd that speaks to us. I was re-watching, I think for the third or fourth time, Ken Grenfell's preach on the Equip YouTube, How to Know God is Speaking. And boy, that just convicts me to listen. Try and hear. Okay? Is this you, Lord? Is this me, Lord? Is this the devil, Lord? Who is it I'm listening to? Jesus is our shepherd. He does for us what the blind man did in the ninth, for what he did to the for the blind man in chapter 9. Remember that was the scene where the blind man got sight, and he didn't know who this man was. He asked him, you know, came back and said, "Well, how is this that you done this?" And it ended up that the least important thing that happened to him was that he got sight. He found out who Jesus was. And Jesus showed him who he was, that he could believe in him and follow him. So Jesus knows our real and deepest needs. I think better than we know them ourselves. Because sometimes the things we think we need really aren't that important. But he does know. He knows when to say yes when we ask for things. Whether they're in his will or not is whether we'll get what we ask for. And sometimes we're just praying amiss. That's why we don't get a yes. When we acknowledge that Jesus is our shepherd, we have to acknowledge another truth about ourselves. And that's that we're the sheep. Now, you've heard lots of jokes about sheep, but they're probably mostly right. In case you didn't know, sheep are not known for their high academic abilities.
Amen.
You know, at one point, my in-laws were living on Salt Spring Island, and they were caretaking for some rich people that had this little hobby farm, and they had sheep. And we went to visit once, and we said, "Well, how is it with the sheep?" And this is my father-in-law, he's just standing there. He was a real patient guy, shaking his head, saying, "Those animals," like throwing up his arms. He said, "They won't do what you tell them. They're so stubborn. It doesn't look like they have two brains to knock together." Like, he thought this was going to be such an easy caretaker job. But the sheep were part of it. Well, sheep by nature, as he found out, not so bright. They're utterly helpless with limited intelligence. I don't know why we were the sheep of the pasture, but they're prone to get into danger and they have habitual listless wandering. I don't think they really move purposefully. They just sort of wander. They're defenseless. The fact that sheep have survived is a great argument against evolution. How could they ever survive? Well, they don't on their own. Sheep need a shepherd. That's the simple answer. And today we rejoice that we as sheep have a shepherd. That which we need most, we have in Jesus. So as we look at the chapter 10 of John, we're going to see why we can rejoice. So the first reason for rejoicing in Jesus is that he connects. What does he do? He connects us to him. And so we're going to start on verse 1 of chapter 10. I tell you the truth, the man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was telling them. I guess it was a sheep moment. So the setting for this bit of scripture, I mean, sheep were abundant in those days. So Jesus used sheep and shepherds as an example here that he thought people would get. He's talking about the communal corral, which was often built of stones, and sometimes they were even 10 feet high. They were like big enclosures. And the sheep would stay there overnight if they weren't far away, where they were nowhere near a keep. The corral would be a safe place for them. There'd be one opening that served as a door. Shepherds would lead their sheep in there for their stay that night. Then a guard would come, and a professional gatekeeper would watch, keep them for the night. At that one opening, in a real sense, that was just the door. No one could get in or out unless they came through the door. When the night was over, the shepherd would come and call his own sheep. And you know what? They would come because they actually did know their own shepherd's voice. They wouldn't come out for any other voice. And that shows that talks a lot about false sheep in that scripture too. False sheep cannot lead sheep. False shepherds, sorry, cannot lead sheep. Thieves and robbers can't lead. They have to steal. They have to break in and get sheep. Unfortunately, we do live in a time where there's lots of false shepherds. And you have to know, is this God I'm following? Is this the voice of the Lord? Or is this the voice of a false shepherd? False shepherds care nothing for the sheep. They want just what they can get out of you. So you've got to be careful who's knocking at the door. I mean, we kind of, as Christians, are kind of tuned in to who's knocking at the door usually. So that's not quite as dangerous sometimes as seeing people on TV and trying to listen and discern. Are they really on the right track here? Not all of them are. And they are not going to lead you in the right way. Many are thieves and false shepherds and preach a false gospel. The true shepherd relates to his sheep, because the role of the shepherd is a highly personal occupation. The real shepherd knows each individual sheep and has a name for each one. You know, we as sheep, you know, that just boggles my mind that the Lord knows. He knows my name. He knows what time I got up. He knows what I'm thinking about. I can't even remember everybody's name in the church. You know, I get introduced to somebody and, you know, if they don't repeat it three times in the conversation, I haven't learned it, so I won't remember it. He knows all of us. Pretty extraordinary. So the shepherd has a relationship with his sheep. So when the shepherd calls, the sheep hear, and they are not afraid to follow. They can follow with confidence. The second reason we should rejoice in Jesus as shepherd is that he completes us, makes us whole. I remember as a new Christian, I think that maybe that's one of the things that just blew me away, is that I now felt whole. Like, I didn't feel like there was something missing. I remember thinking, I'm not alone. You know, He's with me wherever I go. Doesn't matter if I choose to go to, used to say, Timbuktu, well, to the other side of the world. So we're going to continue in verse 7 of John 10. Therefore, Jesus said again, I tell you the truth. I am the gate for the sheep. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The sheep comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. So the first six verses, he's trying to explain, what about this coming in and going out and being the shepherd? And he says they just didn't get it. So he's trying again, repeating it in a little bit different way, but basically the same thing over again, because they didn't understand. He says, I am the gate or the door. And by saying this, he invites people, he was inviting them to leave the fold of the Jewish faith and enter his flock. Just like the blind man from chapter 9, they had to understand that they didn't have to stay under these rules and regulations, trying to live by the law that they had experienced all of their life. They had good news. When they heard his voice, they could be accepted just as they are, just like us. There's no one that's beyond the acceptance of Jesus. Not only that, they'll find that the true shepherd provides for our needs. You know, everything that we really need, we have. We are led to the comfortable pasture where we are secure. Think of Psalm 23. We are fed and satisfied. When the true shepherd provides for our needs, we can't really have it any better. He thrills us with just a wonderful sense of being whole. When we respond to the shepherd's voice, we are delivered. We are safe and sound. We're delivered from bondage and saved from a wasted life. He didn't create us that we waste our life. He wants us to use our life for good. In turn, this life that we have, we can have true freedom for the first time. We get to know life as it was really intended to be lived. We can live with satisfaction and contentment. It's life that's full and abundant and complete. So I think that's worth rejoicing over. The third reason to rejoice is that Jesus covers us. He protects us. In John 10, verse 11 to 16, it says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. So Jesus is that good shepherd. He is the best shepherd that there could ever be. The word good means that which is intrinsically good, beautiful, fair. And when you apply it to Jesus, it means that he is preeminent in every way. In Daniel 7, 13 to 14, it says, in my vision at night I looked, and there before me was one like a son of man, coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. He was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All peoples, nations, and men of every language worshipped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. He's excellent in every way. Therefore, he is above all. There is no comparison. Isaiah 40:25 says, "To whom can you compare me? Who is my equal?" He is the standard of what shepherds are to be. In Matthew 9:36, he demonstrated that. And it says, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. He was a different kind of shepherd for the Jewish people. He really cared. It used to be that the sheep would die for the shepherd as part of the sacrificial system. But that was changing, going to change. Now the good shepherd would die for the sheep. He would be the substitute for the sheep, the sacrifice. But his death would be sufficient for the salvation of the world and for those who will believe. Rejoicing number four. The fourth reason is that Jesus combines. In John 10:16, it says, "I have other sheep that are not of this pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice. And there shall be one flock and one shepherd." So we are united. A little later on in Ephesians 2:11-14, Paul's writing about how we are all included. And he writes, "Therefore, remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. And now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility." Those that were Jewish and those that were not were being made into one flock. Just like us today, together, all those that believe, the people of God become one body. We're all brought together under the unity of our response of love and obedience. And it's Jesus. He's the one that combines us. He brings us together. The fifth reason is that Jesus controls. Looking at 17:18, "The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father." So a true shepherd volunteered to sacrifice himself. Jesus going to the cross was a very purposeful act. He chose to die. He could have prevented it. He could have resisted. But when it came right down to it, he didn't just throw himself up on that cross. He was crucified. The nails were put into his hands. He felt the curse of sin. He felt the hate and the shame, the pain of the nails, every excruciating agony that the sin of the world could put upon him. He wasn't detached from it all. He was fully involved as a human being. His soul felt every bit of it because he was totally involved. When you look a little later in John, in chapter 19:30, John writes about the testimony of the death of Jesus, and he says, "When Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, 'It is finished.' And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit." John didn't want us to miss this essential point. Jesus was in control. I mean, I don't think he couldn't have got himself down off that cross. He proclaimed that it was finished. Then he gave up his spirit. It was an act of total involvement, even to the point of death. So the last, the sixth reason, is that Jesus comes between. And we look at verse 20, 22 of chapter 10. Many of them said, "He is demon-possessed and raving mad. Why listen to him?" But others said, "These are not the sayings of a man possessed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?" As we come to the final scene of this passage, we look at it. So there's a door. There's a fact that the door shuts some people in, and it shuts some out. A door shuts some, and others out. It's like a dividing line. Everybody can get in, but they have to come to that door and make that decision. Some would accept and be in, even at that time. Jesus doesn't simply teach the way or point the way. He is the way. John 10, 27 to 31 says, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one." So, he is the way. He is the gate. He's the door. So remember this. Remember, it's not what you know, but who you know. And rejoice that Jesus is our shepherd. He knows us in the most profound ways. He knows every failure we've ever had, every hurt we've ever experienced. He knows our present and unrealized longings, the things that are so with us. He knows all the strangeness about us, our idiosyncrasies. And he knows the most intimate things about our ways. So tonight I'm asking you, do you recognize his voice? And if you are recognizing his voice, rejoice. And everybody here does know him. If they weren't, I would say, and if you want to be his, all you have to do is go through that door. And you will start listening to his voice. So rejoice in our shepherd, for he desires to be in relationship with us, his sheep, calling us all by name, inviting us to rest in his care. Rejoice in the shepherd. I'm hoping this will stick with you, all this rejoicing, for he gives us life, life that is complete, it's full, and satisfying. And lastly, rejoice in our shepherd, for he is in control. He creates a destiny for us that's full of joy. So, when we're home painting little, poorly painted, mind you, signs that say joy, we know why we have joy. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, that we can constantly rejoice in you and give to you our obedience, our love, our worship. Thank you that you've rescued us. You've loved us. You've covered us. You've fed us. And you've given us a truly abundant life. Please help us to walk in a way that shows that we're rejoicing, that we are purposefully showing our gratitude. Lord, help us in the workplace to show that we rejoice in you. Lord, help us when we're out shopping to tell people why Christmas is celebrated. Mm. Lord, help us to invite them to church and say, you want more joy? I know where you can find it. You can learn about Jesus. And I'll tell you when and where. I'll tell you right now if you want to listen. Mm. Lord, we just thank you that we need to trust in you daily, Lord. Lord, please help us to be obedient to that voice that you lead us with, Lord. To go in and out and follow your directions closely. Help us to know you more, Lord, and help us to know how much you as our shepherd love us. In Jesus' name.